Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord. You listening online, good morning to you. And if you are in a foreign country watching, konnichiwa, Ohio, ni hao ma, guten tag. If you're in Brooklyn, yo. So this morning we have a topical message. We take a little break from our verse by verse through John's first letter. And if you have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 13. Now we're going to stand and read in a moment, and I've debated whether we should start at verse 11 through 18 or get the whole chapter. And so looking at it this morning, it's 3.5 minutes to read the entire chapter at the pace that I'll read it. I could turn it to New York pace, and we'd be done in a minute. But let's take the whole chapter because it is so informative. So would you stand? Revelation chapter 13. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Please be seated. Interestingly, in the Bible, in the pulpit Bible here, that chapter, that verse is on page 1,666. Things happen like that. The text, the part that we're going to zoom in on from this very fascinating and frightening and developing chapter of the Bible, is verse 17. And just this part of it, No one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast. Revelations, rumblings. That's the message this morning. Revelations, rumblings. What we're the thunder of this book and the time we live in. The chapter of Revelation. John saw these two human figures enter the world stage. The first one, Antichrist, comes from the sea, likely indicating he is a Gentile. The second beast comes from the earth, likely indicating that he is a Jew. And they come on the scene at the beginning of the Great Tribulation period. But they don't develop until the latter stage. The Great Tribulation period is really divided into two parts. It's a 7-year period. The first 3.5 years will be relative peace, relative to what's coming. And the next 3.5 years will be tribulation such as the world has never known. And so verses, again, 1 through 10, there emerges a world leader, that fierce beast, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. Then another beast appears in verses 11 through 18. He is the spiritual advocate of political antichrist. And you sort of have the false prophet. You do have the false prophet. And he's sort of the spiritual antichrist. Together, they form a duo made in hell. The second beast, the false prophet, he is the one that masterminds this economic persecution of the saints, where you will not be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. This is something that is thought up by the false prophet on behalf of Antichrist. These two make up the greatest human enemies of Jews and Christians humanity has ever known. There is nothing close to these two. There are the Hitlers, and there are the Antiochus Epiphanes, and there are others through the Neros and the Domitians and others in history that were vile, but they had not this kind of power. Both power according to military might, economic strength, but most importantly, power right out of hell during this period coming to the world. He says here in verse 17, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark, the seal of Antichrist. No seal, no sale. That's how it's going to be. And it will be global. The world will eventually become a cashless society, either by devaluating cash or outlawing it, or maybe something we've not yet thought of or seen. This development is in full swing this very day. How much cash do you have? But how many of you have cash in your wallet? Or how many of you have cash in your wallet compared to 30 years ago? Cash is, of course, going away. And other means of exchange are filling in the blanks. This fact exists, and we are very mindful of it, that everyone is on the grid. Everyone can be traced. It is increasing. It is becoming where you just know where you can hide on the planet. You can't even go into the forest and hide. The technology is so advanced. The infrareds, just for example, the satellites, these two individuals will wield extraordinary powers. Daniel called it early on. In Daniel's 7th chapter, he writes, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. See, Daniel had seen the world powers coming into place, the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. He saw the Medes and the Persians, and he just saw all these empires coming. And then He sees this end times entity that we know as Antichrist. And that's what he's speaking about there in Daniel chapter 7. Terrible, exceedingly strong. Remember, the Bible has a flair for understatement. And so when it says it is exceedingly strong, it is saying that's as high as it gets. It's emphatic. It is an effort, this cashless society, this insistence that you have his mark. It is an effort to force men by economic means to forsake Christ and accept anti-Christ. True believers will prefer death than renouncing their Savior during this great tribulation period. And there will be many of them. It says here that they are to have that mark or the name of the beast. No name, no necessities. If you're not lined up with Antichrist, you don't get to purchase anything. And so it's all wrapped in together, the mark, the name, the number, that mystical number, that special mark, 666. It says also here, or the number of his name. No number, no deal. There must be some deliberate and willful tag put on this individual that is unmistakable to everyone, and that will be it. And Antichrist and his false prophet will say, "Join us or die." And we'll know who you are. We already know who you are. This distinct tag, 666, of course it speaks of the evil trinity. It speaks of the false prophet, the Antichrist, and the force of Satan himself, Lucifer himself, behind these. It speaks of more, but we're not doing a verse-by-verse exposition of the number. We are going to get back to the rumblings of this book and how relevant it is to us sharing our faith from the book of Revelation, unlike any time in human history. But this number will be, I believe, an intentional mockery of Christianity and God's word, making the crime more damnable. Peter said, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own desires, their own passionate desires. The word translated is lust. They're going to do their own thing, scoffing at what they already know about God, because Christians have been faithful over the ages to preach the gospel, and they still are faithful to preach the gospel. It is no longer a hidden message in most of the world, or much of the world, Western civilization for sure. But this force of evil, Antichrist and his false prophet, they are going to insist on using 666, knowing that that's the tag put on them. Supposing, again, to mock the Lord of the Bible, they cannot do otherwise because God rules. The scripture must be fulfilled. They will think they're mocking God, but in the end, they will be judged. And how can they not know that this is going to be the number? Everybody knows this is the number. They will go forward with their plan to belittle the church, to destroy, well, the church won't be here, to belittle Christians, to destroy Christians. Right now, the attempts are to marginalize the church, to make it insignificant, to make our message insignificant. And so, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's come back to my notes, because it's in there. Technology, it is actually fueling the doom of humanity. Well, there are many uses to it. There's nothing wrong with technology in itself. It depends on what is in your heart, and what you're doing with these things. These two demonically filled characters holding all of this global, political, and spiritual power from Satan, they will have their way with those who refuse to let Jesus have their heart. Revelation 16, verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon. What a spooky scene. A dragon is scary enough. Then to have three frogs come out, three blind mice would have been, you know, something I could have not been so frightened by. But three frogs coming from the mouth of this monster, and he says, out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Foul things will be coming out of their hearts because Satan has filled their hearts willfully, not against their will. Revelation 13:12, he exercises all authority of the first beast, this is the false prophet, in his presence, that is the Antichrist, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the false beast. This is spiritual. This has something to do with religion. The atheists will be gone. They will sell themselves over to this madness. Most false god worshipers today and in ancient history would deny that they're worshiping demons straight out. But God says otherwise. God says, if you're not worshiping me, you're worshiping a concoction out of hell. I don't care what name you put on it, how pretty you think you can make it. You're creating a perfect kingdom of human fools that are just waiting for this satanic, these Satan boys. The world is ripe. It is ready to receive them with open arms. The Jews and tribulation converts will be the hated targets of not only these two, but all the Antichrists that are goose-stepping with them to their doom. Revelation 11, verse 10, and those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, that is, the witnesses of God, the two witnesses that are killed. They will rejoice over them, make merry, send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. How did they do that? Did they capture people and put hot pokers into their flesh? Beat the bottom of their feet with canes like the communists did to Richard Wambrand and other believers? No. They simply salted the earth with truth and righteousness. They were a walking sermon, conviction against sin and the madness that is engulfing the planet. They hated these two men for being righteous, and it was global. Hated so much they went out and bought things to send to other people because they have the ability to buy and sell. The key to evil in the book of Revelation, the key to it pulling off this master plan of Satan, is not only that Satan is released, but he has the technology, the vehicle to do all of this, which was not available to the Caesars of days gone by or anybody else. Without technology, the prophecies of the book of Revelation stall. But we are here now. Now we have the technology. It is clear. It is in plain sight. Antichrist will control all of the media, without which he cannot be the big mouth that the Bible tells us he will be. We know that the news media in this country is now state media. It is controlled by elements of evil in the government. You have to go outside of mainstream media just to find out who lit a match. Because if they're telling the story, it's going to be slanted or skewed or spun. They're going to vilify and try to assassinate the character of anyone who dares to oppose them. They ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till these two boys get on the scene. Revelation 13, and he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 3.5 years, 42 months. You see, he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. Well, what could that mean except he has a platform? He has a soapbox that can reach everywhere at the same time. Every language can receive it. the Tower of Babel is being rebuilt. Daniel chapter 7. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute those of the Most High. As John said in his letter, Antichrist is coming. Many Antichrists are here. The minion of Satan, the Antichrist, are building this fool's paradise so that he will have all that he needs to cause harm, to try to exterminate every believer of Jesus Christ and every Jewish person, whether they believe in Christ or not. Vimeo is a media platform like YouTube. And just this month, they found themselves in court. Lawsuit filed against them by the Church United. Some of you were here when my friend Bob Tyler, a lawyer from California, from Advocates for Faith and Freedom, got to come up and share a little bit about what's going on. And he mentioned that he was going to face these people in court. Well, they did. They did face them. And it was a discrimination lawsuit filed on behalf of James Doman, who is a former homosexual. But he has come out of that. Of course, he's a pastor now. He's married. He has children. And he would post on Vimeo videos on how to come out of homosexuality. Well, Vimeo banned him, deleted his account. Not just the videos on that subject, but the entire account. They will ban anyone who makes any attempt to lead homosexuals out of homosexuality and all that goes with the package. This is known as gay conversion therapy by somebody. And if you look it up on the internet, you'll find it, and you'll find all of the bias and sickening defenses against it or attacks against it. But that's not what we're really focusing on at this point. It could have been anyone that has a one-sided approach against free speech in this country. Well, they went to court, and the court ruled in favor of Vimeo and thereby empowering Vimeo to legally ban videos preaching against homosexuality or anything else they don't like. If you are a fan of blue shoelace tips and they don't like it, they can shut you down legally. You cannot take them to court. YouTube has not yet done this. Why? Well, they're waiting for Vimeo to spend their money in the courts so that they can get the ruling. And then if they so decide, they'll be able to ride on the coattails of that lawsuit and do the same thing. Bob Tyler, the lawyer that defended or brought the lawsuit on behalf of Church United, in a telephone interview says, "The decision is very concerning because they gave the ability for social media platforms and other related websites to be completely immune from liability when they engage in international acts of discrimination towards protected classes." Let me translate that. They're giving the right to everybody on the internet to tell you Christians, you can't buy from us. You can't post on here. You're not welcomed. We're going to shut you up. That is what is going on. Judge Stuart Aaron upheld publisher immunity and immunity to police content. If you're not politically correct, then you're out. Proverbs 17, verse 15, "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to Yahweh." So you see, this is the catalyst for this morning's message. Here we live in a time where we are seeing the prohibition to not buy or sell becoming law in our land. We are seeing the prophecies fulfilled. It's not yet final, but the groundwork is laid like never before in our society. Isaiah, and if you don't know this verse from Isaiah, you should know it. Chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. They're flipping everything upside down, not right side up. Also in June of 2019, Vimeo removed an account of Project Veritas, an American conservative activist group. They discriminated against them. They didn't like them. They wanted to silence them so their big mouth can be heard instead. But they continue, Vimeo does, to accept videos which to God are obscene and lewd and lascivious and filthy and antichrist. They continue to post and champion their vile causes, how to have a man become a woman and a woman become a man become a duck become a chicken, or whatever else. The insanity of it. Using the courts and the technology to reshape cultural thinking against Judeo-Christian decency. That is what is going on, and it is global. Revelation 13:7, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. So the next time you see a lawsuit going against you, you understand the stage is being set. It was granted to them to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. The word I've been using is global, not just local to we here in America. The extent of immunity fits perfectly into our text, that you will not be able to buy or sell without the mark, without the name, without the number of the beast. Facebook knows who you are. They see your postings. They have, through algorithms, not Al Gore rhythms, because he has no rhythm, but through the pattern of numbers and sequence, etc., etc., they know how you roll. They know who you are. The church just got a, notice from them on our Facebook page to tell us, which one are you, a non-denominational church or evangelical? And if you don't tell us, we'll just assign you one. And it just means they know who we are. Well, we know who they are too. But more importantly, we know who is Lord God over all creation. And he's already called it. And they can't help themselves. They are going to play the game according to God's rules, and they are going to pay for that game according to God's rules. But what is my role in the midst of all of this? The same as my Lord, to seek and to save that which is lost. It does not change for us, ever. We're still to preach the gospel. But with all of this development of technology through and prophecy about it, the book of Revelation begins to rumble like never before. Much of the revelation of Jesus Christ has been borderline Christian sci-fi. Exciting. I love the book of Revelation. It's spooky. Now it's becoming a tool. Now it is upping its game, you could say, its application. What happens when Amazon refuses to sell you something because you do not share their antichrist views? What happens when the drugstore refuses to fulfill your prescription because you don't share their views? What happens when you're banned from buying? You can't hire and you cannot be hired. No doctor visits for you. No gasoline. No utilities. You're starved out. Revelation 13:17. And that no one, our text, may buy or sell except one who has the mark of and the name of the beast, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. At Babel, ancient Babel, everybody was on the same page. Everybody spoke the same language. I forgot to push my timer. Sorry. Thank you. We'll be done when I'm finished, I guess. If I'm too long, then, well, let's just get back to this. We don't need all that. You can't buy or sell without this. Babel, of course, is the rebuilding of the internet. Genesis 11, verse 6. Yahweh said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. They pooled their resources. They swapped notes. They made each other stronger in the ways of evil, rejecting God. How will they identify the mark of the beast with its 666? Very easy. During those days, it will be no problem. Once they say, no seal, no sale, no name, no necessities, no number, no deal, no mark, no meals, get it or die. But you see, that won't be fast enough. It's like when the Nazis were trying to exterminate, commit genocide against the Jewish people. It wasn't enough to just shoot them. They had to come up with ways to accelerate the process and cook them. And even that wasn't fast enough for them. That's how it's going to be during that great tribulation period. I'll get to where the church will be and Christians will be, other than the tribulation converts, in a moment. But we Christians will be very easy to identify. We'll be the hungry ones. We'll be the hurting ones. We'll be the ones that lack the essentials. Somehow, the 144,000 Jewish preachers, evangelists, will be unharmed by these restrictions, and they will function. I don't know how. None of us know how. And we won't be here. Present Christians won't be here to find out. But no other kingdom in the history of humanity has seen rule as evil and as vast as this one. Again, Daniel chapter 7, where he says they are terrible and exceedingly strong. Now let's talk about more technology. Because you know, if those of you, I don't know how droid phones work. I don't think anybody does. Okay, sorry. The iPhone, you pick it up, it senses your mug, your face, and it begins to work for you. It reads your face. Your face is the ID. Well, the mark of the beast, where's it going? On the face, on the forehead, and on the hand. You'll be able to pick up your phone and swipe your hand over it or look at it and it'll read the chip in your head. And off you go. Your data will be in the cloud of darkness. There are chips available now. Some of them have ruffles. But others are implanted. They're not the mark of the beast. They're just an indication everything's going that way. You can get that chip and you will not be defiled. I wouldn't get it, but if I did, I'd get the chip on my shoulder. Because that's how I am. Revelation 13:16, he causes both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark on their right hand or their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell. Now, it is coupled with the willful worship of the beast. Why does the Bible make that indication? I don't have it here, so I can't bring too much of it up, but to say this, there will be people with special needs who will be forced to get this, who aren't aware of all of this nonsense, and they will get an exemption. You go to a little baby in the hospital and you insert the chip, that baby's not damned because that baby did not connect the chip with the worship. The mercy of God, always active, always robust, always the baddest dude in town. So this that we're living in, this end of the age, the last of the last days, unlike ever before, our generation can fulfill these prophecies. You'll see them fulfilled. Revelation 11, then those from the peoples, tribes, and tongues and nations will hear will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. These are the two prophets I mentioned earlier. Everyone on earth, from every peoples, tribes, and tongues, the nations, will at one time, at the same time, be able to see their dead bodies. We couldn't do that in John's day. You couldn't do that in Martin Luther's day. You couldn't do that in Billy Graham's day. But you can do it today. Well, part of Billy Graham's day you could, and he lived to be like 190. So, the global communications, that Tower of Babel. Listen to what God says, Genesis 1:1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And as I mentioned, we are back to this. So some of the things that go along with the fulfillment of Antichrist and the technology, before I get even to the repatriation of Israel, which is a part of filling in the puzzle. Israel has their land. They're back in it. Their people have been flying in from all over the world and staying there. They are committed to making them citizens. Armageddon cannot take place without Israel being in that land with ownership. Drones will color in a lot of the meaning to the activities taking place in the book of Revelation. Artificial intelligence. That is, robots that look like human beings, act like humans, almost indistinguishable from humans. In fact, it doesn't even have to be a human. You can make any kind of monstrosity out of something and give it life, give it bullets, give it the ability to destroy, make it have the hair of the woman and the teeth of a lion. It can. All of these things are now coming to life. In fact, Antichrist, there's an attempted assassination on him, and he survives, but that assassination proves that he's human and not a demonic spirit and not artificial intelligence, not a robot, but that he is human. See, God has laid it all out, and they can't stop but fulfilling it because they are evil. Weapons of mass destruction. You cannot have the war scenes that you have in the book of Revelation without weapons of mass destruction. They're here now. They've never been here before. Not before the 1950s. Antichrist, they're buying up everything. All of the media platforms they own. What conservative group has the power to broadcast as these liberals do? None. Again, feathering the nest for Antichrist and his false prophet to just sashay right into power. They will assume all these things. They will claim them as their own, and everybody's going to be happy with it. Everybody in the world. And so we have some reminders for ourselves in the midst of these things, because the church will not be in the world when this 7-year period begins. The assembled church will be raptured out, leaving behind the apostate church. But then there will arise the 144,000 witnesses of our Lord. They will make tribulation converts, and those converts will be executed. They will be persecuted and then killed, any chance that is given to Antichrist and his people. And this plan for everyone's data that we have now, many of you don't want to get certain plans because you feel like you're being tracked. It's too late. Just go ahead and get it. It doesn't matter. They know where you are anyway. In days where you would track where you're spending if you used your credit card at a gas station or a convenience store. Well, now, of course, it's just gone beyond that. With your phone, with a simple click, you've made your purchase and they know where you made it from. But true believers will not be here because we're raptured, but more true believers will come through it. There will be Hindus and Muslims and other peoples giving their life to Christ during this period of time. God is not finished with preaching the gospel to people just because Antichrist comes to power. But still, What restrains him then? What's holding him back? Well, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there you will read that it is the Holy Spirit that restrains the evil forces until he's good and ready to move back some, to let him come to the forefront and give him this power we read about in chapter 13 at the standing and reading of the word. This assassination attempt, as I mentioned, there in verses 3 and 4 and then repeated later, I think 13 and 14, twice no less than in this one chapter. There's an insistence by God. Listen to me, God says. There's nobody like this one. He's going to be wounded severely and miraculously, and Zechariah called it centuries even before John. Miraculously, he's going to survive. And when he does, everybody's going to think he's the greatest thing ever and pour themselves into this monster. But the judgment is coming. Revelation 14:9. Then a third angel followed them. Now, the presence of all these angels in Revelation is God saying, I got this. And that's why you keep reading about them. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, and that's another thing, they're making it loud and clear. And we need to get it. If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or his hand, he himself shall also drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Did you catch that? If anyone worships the beast and the image and receives the mark, that's what I was referencing earlier. Verse 11 of Revelation 14, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. So God repeats it for emphasis. That's a second witness within the revelation. Now, all of this has got to have something to do with us. Okay, we're not going to be here then, so why tell us now? Because there are current opportunities. Sharing Jesus Christ, I've noticed for some time now, from the Gospels, is not convicting people. It's as though they've heard it so much, so often, they're immune to it. Yeah, I know Jesus died for me. I know he rose again. That's why we have Easter. And it's sort of the marginalized. It's reduced in its potency. God has created, in his own word, a backup plan. It's sort of like, you know, when you large tracts of land are being developed for housing, but they save certain other tracts. They don't open it up until everything is sold off. Then they open this second tract of properties to be developed. God is now opening that second track. He's saying, well, maybe the witnessing is not working anymore of the simple beauty of our faith. Maybe what they need to counteract all of this technology and mind-numbing, you know, video games and all this other stuff, maybe what will work now is prophecy. Full-blown, in-your-face prophecy. Not like the end times. Peter said, we have the more sure word of prophecy. We were there, we had the fulfillment, everybody knows it. But we are now in an age where we can say the same thing on a different level. We can say, we've got the prophecy. We can take an unbeliever to say, let me tell you about this Vimeo case. You see what's happening here? They're going to control who can buy and sell. And if you don't play their tune, you don't get the reward. The life, the necessities of life. But God called it already. He said this was coming, and you're now living, you're seeing it. You are seeing God's word fulfilled. Why would you reject this? Because if you see these prophecies fulfilled, then the doom prophecies apply too. Don't you think for 1 minute that all these other prophecies of weapons of mass destruction, Israel coming back and land, artificial intelligence, and all this other stuff, don't you think for 1 minute that that is going to be fulfilled as you're watching it, cannot deny it, but the wrath of the Lamb is somehow not going to be fulfilled? They come together. These things are given to us. These are the rumblings of the book of Revelation. It is our platform. Is why else have this book if we're not going to be here to live through the horrors of this great tribulation period such as the world has ever known? We want converts as believers. We don't want just a good church. We do want that. And many of you contribute to that. But there is more. And there's more to just making converts. You've got to have somewhere to put them, to do something with them, to strengthen them. Or they will be stunted and plucked up and picked off. It's a lot of work going in to fighting this war against Satan because he has so much power. And so the purpose of this message, in the light of the Vimeo case, is to say to us, listen, these are the last days. Use this book. Preach from it. If they don't want to hear about Christ walking in Galilee, maybe they'll want to hear about him walking over those who blaspheme him in these last days. Revelation 13:19, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. That's what that means. John is writing this in his day to people who will read those words, and he's saying to them, listen to the prophecies. Don't dismiss these things as something so far removed from you that they have no practical value. He's saying the opposite. God is saying through him, these have a value. And we, unlike any other generation, to whomsoever much is given, much is required. Let us start buckling down a little bit more on the fulfillment of these prophecies and say our message is relevant. This is going to take more than t-shirts and bumper stickers to win lost souls. It always has. And being a separatist as a Christian where, you know, I'm just in my little Christian commune, I don't really reach out to anybody, that's never worked. That's never been part of God's plan. We are to reach out to the lost. And you say, well, I don't have any success. I don't have anybody. Are you praying? Are you asking God to send them your way? What makes you think you can do anything without him when he clearly says you cannot? So this is an encouragement, not a scolding. If you've been guilty of being a separatist, then be a separatist no more. Reach out to the lost. Don't try to convert them to your lifestyle. Convert them to Christ. Nobody's interested in your lifestyle as being the gospel. It is Jesus Christ. One Christian might not want to eat this kind of food. Well, I'm not going to convert somebody to eating the type of food I eat because I'm a Christian. One might raise their kids this way. One might wear this kind of clothing. I'm not converting anybody to my lifestyle. It's Christ-likeness that we're after. That's paramount. I'm not trying to convert them to a man-made doctrine. I want the person of Jesus Christ in their life according to the Bible. And those other things will be sorted out as we move forward. And so we, of course, are not looking for the beast. We won't be here for that. We are looking for lost souls who are victims of their own sin. And it will be the time of Jacob's trouble, such as mentioned, the world has never known. I want to read this one part and we'll be closing. I think I got 25 minutes left. Amen. Revelation, there's a couple of them. First, I want to take Jeremiah 10. My purpose is this. There are many deceivers that have gone out into the world. We're not to be afraid of these people. We are to certainly respect the damage that they cause in the lives of others. But we are to be more focused on the message we have to deliver because no one else has got it. Jeremiah said to people in his day who were essentially throwing out their covenants with their God, their own identity, thus says Yahweh, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. See, he's saying, be distinct. You're different. You're not like them. Maintain your separation of identity with God. We read in chapter 13 that Antichrist is going to have power to call lightning and thunder down from heaven. remarkable signs that are lying wonders. They are wonders, but they lie. And they lie in this. A miracle has taken place. What's the return address? Where did it come from? Who's doing it? So what? Pharaoh's magicians can turn a stick into a snake. Our God will gobble them up. And this is what we have to keep in front of us. Revelation 13, 14, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. The world's going to be very thrilled with that. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. We're not marveling. Pause there 1 minute. It used to be I'd make a hospital call, and if the person said, "This is my pastor," the staff would be responsive to that in some way. There was a reverence to the office of a clergy. Now it's gone. Some still are. But many are just totally cold. They shut down. They're not even friendly after that. Things are changing. Think people are being deceived. And we are not to be frightened or intimidated or marvel at these things as they do. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth, Revelation 13, 14, by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. In hospitals, they have so much ability to do things that we never could do before. I mean, pretty soon, a head transplant will be a drive-through event. It's an outpatient. We applaud the advances that medical science has made. But what's that to God? Nothing. God has just opened up knowledge to man. As Daniel said, in the last days, knowledge will increase. So don't be intimidated by these things. Point them out. Next time somebody acts like they're, you know, mankind is going on such a, you know, this course of development and success, point out, no, they're not. They're still sinners. They're still wicked. With all the technology that they have, they're going to use it to slaughter people who don't agree with them. And when they say, "I don't believe it," you can say, "Look at the book of Revelation. It's calling it. You're seeing it right in front of your eyes. You're seeing the mark of the beast. You're seeing this ability to activate your phone just with your face." Imagine how much more if that phone can read every bit of information about you through that chip planted in your head. It wouldn't be bad if David got to plant the chips in people's heads. The slingshot event, you know. All right. Yeah, that's just my signal. Time's almost up. God is giving lost souls time to receive salvation and not spend it on the ruin of their own souls. And you and I know that it is a fight that we are going to fight to the finish. We all have loved ones who are not receiving Christ. That ain't the end of the story. We'll fight this to the end. Because many, many have prevailed this way. Matthew 24:24, "For Christ, for false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, the elect." Revelation 19:20, "Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast into the lake of fire burning with brimstone." So the Bible won't let it go. Way back in chapter 13 of Revelation, this was brought up. It was then brought up in chapter 14. It's then brought up in chapter 19. I close with this. The gospel of Jesus Christ can be preached through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Start getting more familiar with the fulfilled prophecies and use them on behalf of lost souls who would never know any better without you. Let's pray. Our Father, every believer wants to obey you and do right and get it right. And there's so much involved in this. The main things, and it is your Holy Spirit in our hearts giving us more of Jesus Christ Not only the direction and insight, not only the knowledge and the wisdom, but the power to do it. We are starved for the power to do it when we don't have it. So, Lord, the believers, don't hesitate to invite you. Have your way with us. Be pleased with us. Catch us locking horns against the enemy all the time. If you're here this morning and you've not ever opened your heart to Jesus Christ, you have an opportunity now. If you're listening or watching online, you have an opportunity now. And if you hear what I have to say about your salvation, you have an opportunity to not go to your grave with the wrath of God on your soul. If you make this prayer in earnest, if you open your heart to the God of truth, of the Bible, of all creation, He will receive you. If you make this prayer in earnest, if you say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I come to you because I have broken your commandments. I ask you to forgive me and to receive me as your own. I come to you because there is no one else who died for me, who loves me, and who is sovereign enough to take care of me. I give my life to you right here, right now, and I ask that from this day forward, you would be my Lord and my Savior, and I commit my life to you. And now, Father, if anyone has made that prayer, may they not hesitate to act upon it, and make their confession known, share it with the believers from the beginning. In Jesus' name, amen.